Good morning. It's great to be able to share with you this morning. I want to thank Sharon and Grant and Sarah for this opportunity. If you've been joining with us online over the last couple of weeks, you'll know that today marks the third week in the series At the Core, Embracing Our Values at 426. We heard from Grant a couple of weeks ago as he spoke about valuing following Jesus. Then last week, Sarah shared with us about the importance of intergenerational worship and how this is not a new idea, but it's a scripturally based idea. And today we look at community and how we can intentionally create community. Well, community comes in all different forms: school, family, friends, work, church, sporting clubs. As you get to know us and our family, you will learn that we are very heavily involved in the basketball world. And over the last 6 years, we've been part of the North Adelaide Rockets basketball club here in Adelaide, a community that includes people from many different walks of life and many different generations. The club has always been very intentional about creating community. They play in tournaments together, as you would expect from a basketball club. They hold fundraising events together. They even hold social events. But for me, the sense of community really came into being last year in October. It was during this month that the club were relocating from a stadium, an old stadium, where they had been for nearly 50 years, to a brand new stadium some 4.5 kilometres down the road. As a family, we joined with 400 plus other North Adelaide Rockets people, donned our red, big red walk t-shirts, and we walked the 4.5 kilometres from the old stadium to the new. As far as club days go, you would be hard pressed to find a better one or one that better united the community. But this was not an off-the-cuff, slap-together type of arrangement. Because community is valued by the club, it was well thought out, organised and prepared. The club were deliberate in their arrangements for this day, and they wanted people to connect as we walked along the 4.5 kilometres together, and they wanted to make a statement to the wider community that the club was arriving in town. Community is a great thing. It can make us better. It can make us stronger and give us a sense of belonging. But at times, community can be challenging, right? Because there are people involved. The Apostle Paul, who wrote more than a quarter of the New Testament, gives excellent advice on how to create and to improve the communities that we are a part of. He emphasizes the importance of community and the positivity that can come from it. But often before he discusses community, he challenges us as individuals on how we can improve ourselves. Chapter 12 of Romans that we heard from earlier does exactly this. In verses 1 and 2 of Romans chapter 12, Paul urges us in the light of God's mercy to give our bodies to God and not to conform to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. In response to God's overwhelming and undeserved generosity to us through Jesus, we are to give our whole lives back to him for his use and his glory. But Paul continues on, reminding us that we all make up the body of Christ. We are each different ages, different genders, different cultures, and we have different functions, gifts and talents, but we work together as one. Then we come to the verses that we heard earlier, and Paul talks about the transformation that the saving grace of Jesus should have on our relationships with other people. In fact, these verses give us over 20 brief instructions on how we, as God's people, should relate to one another and to our wider community, the unbelieving world, if you like. Paul expects that the gospel of Jesus will transform the way we treat each other, both within and outside of the church. God has put us together, but we need to be intentional about creating the community within this body. We need to work together. Let me tell you a little bit more about our basketball world. Over the years, our boys have had many different coaches who coach with different styles and techniques. But I would say that no one has had a greater impact on them or on David and I than the man who coached our eldest son, Noah, last year. His name is Ahmed. He's a wonderful encourager and motivator of particularly young men. And there have been times when I've actually wished that perhaps Ahmed could move into our house so that he could motivate our boys with their schoolwork and other things that they need to do, not just basketball. But last year, Noah's team was playing in a tournament. And in the first round of this particular tournament, they lost a game that they should have easily won. At the end of the game, Ahmed gathered the players, as he did every game, and many of the parents were standing around as well and were within earshot of what Ahmed was saying. And he spoke to these lads and he said to them, "Together we can achieve more." He was referring to the fact that there may have been some individual performances on the court that night, and it was because of that reason that they did not win. Together we can achieve more. In community, we are stronger. We can achieve more, particularly if we live by these words of Paul. We can intentionally create community if we love one another, if we're devoted to each other, if we never lose our enthusiasm for the gospel and our faith, if we have hope and patience, particularly when we are faced with challenges and difficult situations, if we share with one another, and if we practice hospitality. It can be easy to read these words and say, yes, we do this. But do we really do it? Are we really devoted to each other? Are we prepared to do whatever we can and whatever it takes for those in our faith community? And just in case you're wondering, Paul is not talking only about those people that we really like. Paul wants us to act like this to those people who are not our favourites. A community can be defined as a unified body of people sharing or having certain attitudes, interests, and beliefs. We as a community of Christ should therefore always be genuinely and deeply concerned for one another's spiritual, physical, and emotional well-beings, showing a love that is both wholehearted and practical. But Paul goes on, not only are we to create a community amongst our believers, ourselves here, but we need to be intentional about reaching out to the community where we find ourselves each and every day. We need to do this within the community around the new building in Parramatta. We need to do this in the communities where we live and where we work. And there are times that this will not be easy. We may be faced with opposition, perhaps even evil. But this does not mean that we stop reaching out and only focus on our faith community. How will people ever meet Jesus if we are not intentional about reaching out to them? How will people ever become followers of Jesus if they don't know who he is? As Christians, we need to be willing to associate with people who are different to us, to make friends with them, to love them, to feed them, to support them. And yes, there will be times when we have chance conversations with people, when we can spontaneously reach out to people, and this is fantastic. I certainly believe that God gives us these opportunities in our day-to-day life. But I believe that in order for us to have greater impact, we, as God's people, need to be intentional and plan how we do this. We need to be deliberate and purposeful as we create community both with Christians and non-Christians, because together we can achieve more. Last week I attended via Zoom the planning meeting for Parramatta 2021, and I was encouraged by many of the discussions that took place as leaders discussed what Parramatta could be doing to reach and engage the wider community. The intentionality in this place is already at front of mind. But why? Why do we want to do this? Well, as I've already said, the Apostle Paul spends a lot of time talking about community and the importance of it. But also Jesus modeled this to us in his ministry years here on earth. He was intentional about the way he engaged with people. He modeled to us gathering people. He encouraged people. He taught them. He showed them a better way to behave and to live. And he loved them, unconditionally loved them. Jesus did not discriminate. He loved all people and wanted all people to have a relationship with God, and so should we. As I've already said, of course we will face challenges. We may face difficult people, but we can love them with the love that God has shown us. The Message paraphrase of these verses from Romans 12 say this: love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on to dear life for good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Be alert servants of the Master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. Bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy. Share tears when they're down. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. Our scriptures tell us if you see your enemy hungry, go buy that person lunch, or if he's thirsty, get him a drink. Your generosity will surprise him with goodness. Don't let evil get the best of you. Get the best of evil by doing good. We love those with whom we have an affiliation with, and we love those who we do not yet know. We pray for those who are already in our faith community, and we pray for those who we do not yet know. We honour those who we worship and serve with, and we honour those who we do not yet know. We share with those in our faith community who are in need, and we share with those who we do not yet know. We practice hospitality with those in our faith community, and we do the same for those who we do not yet know. We do not judge those in our faith community, nor do we judge those who we do not yet know. We make friends with those who will come into our beautiful new building, and we make friends with those who we do not yet know. All of these things are purposeful and deliberate ways in which we can intentionally create community both inside and outside the Salvation Army Parramatta. May I encourage you each to be intentional as you build relationships with those in your communities, no matter where they are. May we each seek God's wisdom and his love and his hope as we share his love and hope with those in whom we come with contact. Shall we pray? Our God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for people like the Apostle Paul who had such words of wisdom to share with us. We thank you for your love, your transforming love that has changed our lives, and that is what we use to help transform the lives of other people. Lord, help us to be a community of believers who are intentional about the way that we build community with others. Help us to act in love, in generosity, in kindness. Help us to pray for those who need our prayers. Help us to cry with those who need our tears. Lord, we want to be a beacon of light in this community. We want to be able to show your love and your grace and your peace and your hope to all those that we come in contact with. May you challenge us each to do this as individuals, but also as your body, as a body of believers, as a body of Christ. So, Lord, bless the Salvation Army Parramatta, particularly as they transition during these next few months into 426. May we never forget the values that are important to us, I pray, in your precious name. Amen.